You here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I do thank you very much for coming out this morning. I'm going to talk to you this morning about endure and how to endure. I have a poll that I had given or taken from several people. And the question in the poll, the main question is, how many times a day do you say prayer? That's the poll, okay? You don't have to answer me now because no one needs to know but you and God. But when I asked myself that question, I thought I was doing pretty good. And then I started asking other people and I started studying and reading. And it started at zero or once every other day. These were the responses I got. Four times a day, twice a day, eight times a day. And then someone who was completely outside the church, 24 times a day. That's a lot of prayer. So anyway, this is about enduring or endurance. We're going to start in the book of 1 John. Chapter 3, starting at verse 18, it says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God." In Strong's, the word deed means to toil or act, to do a deed or doing labor or work. That's what it's talking about here in the 18th verse. But it says not to love in word or in tongue. Not just say that you love God and each other, but do it through your actions also, in deed and in truth. And it says that we shall assure our hearts before him. So as we're standing there in front of God, ready to be judged, we shall assure our hearts in front of him that we did indeed love in truth and in the very deed itself. We showed our love. How do we do that? Assure means to persuade. So you're going to be standing in front of God, persuading your own heart that you did love God. You don't have to be afraid as you stand there. Turn to, I went too far. I should have stayed right where I was. Turn to 1 John again, second chapter, verse 27 and 28. It says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." The book of John, the 14th chapter. You're going to start noticing similarities of what I read. As God was showing me these things, I had no idea before I started this study how important this is and how many times he tells us over and over and over again what it is that he wants us to do. 14th chapter of John, verse 23, says, Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So this is straight from the mouth of God that we're being told these things. John, the 15th chapter, starting at the first verse, says, I want you to listen and pay attention to how many times you hear the word abide. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So if you don't bring forth any fruit, you're going to be taken away. If you bring forth fruit, it says, in every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. Almost everybody here has done that. Okay? You believed, you had hope and faith, you repented of your sins, you got baptized, water, fire, and the Holy Ghost. You brought forth fruit. He purged you with fire and the Holy Ghost. Verse 3 says, Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. This is after you've been purged, after you've been cleansed. You're to abide in him. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. That's not the same as the golden rule. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. Love thy brother as thyself, however you want to say it. He changed it, and he said, Love one another as I have loved you. It's different. Think about the difference. The word abide in Strong's, in the Greek section, it's 3306. It means to stay in a given place, state, or relation. You can say abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, or stand in place of the word abide. In the Bible, it uses the word abide or remain or stand more than endure. It only uses the word endure, I think, 3 or 4 times in little parts. In the Book of Mormon, it uses the word in over 14 different places. The word endure is in the Book of Mormon in over 14 different places. And I know that we've all heard it preached to us, but you have to pay attention to where the word shows up when whoever wrote it is talking to us, because it matters. Endure from Webster's means to remain firm or maintain one's position or place. So if you're going to endure, you have to maintain your position. You have to remain firm. You have to perform maintenance, just like on a car. You're not going to finish the journey in a car if you don't do regular maintenance. You're not going to finish the journey to where it is you want to go, which is to heaven and stay there, if you don't perform maintenance. And it's not hard. It's a lot easier than changing the transmission. Okay? You can ask some of these guys about changing transmissions. It's not a fun job. All right, in the Book of Mormon, and I will show you. It starts right here. These are the references all the way down through to there in the Book of Mormon for the word endure. It's quite a bit. In several of the places in the Book of Mormon, it'll be a page and a half. And it's endure, enduring, endureth, doesn't endure, didn't endure, or needs to endure through all of that section. It's 1 Nephi chapter 3, verses 184 through 188, page 37. 1 Nephi chapter 7, verse 69, page 77. 2 Nephi chapter 6, verse 48 through 49, page 108. 2 Nephi chapter 13, verses 19 through 32, pages 162 and 163. 2 Nephi 15th chapter, verse 5, page 165. The Book of Omni, chapter 1, verse 47, page 203. Alma chapter 16, verses 135 through 137, page 422. Alma, chapter 18, verses 1 through 2, page 443. 3 Nephi, chapter 7, verse 10, page 644. 3 Nephi, chapter 12, verses 27 through 30, page 674. Mormon, chapter 4, verse 93 through 95, pages 712 through 713. Moroni, chapter 7, verses 51 through 52, page 768. Moroni, chapter 8, verse 29, page 771. I'm not going to read all of them today. Just a couple. So don't worry. It's going to be painless. Well, until I get down to the end, then your toes might hurt. I know mine did. And each time I read this, my toes hurt. Okay, 1 Nephi. Chapter 7, page 77. Verse 66. Now listen to where the word endure comes in at this. Wherefore, my brethren, I would that ye should consider that the things which have been written upon the plates of brass are true. And they testify that a man must be obedient to the commandments of God. Wherefore, ye need not suppose that I and my Father are the only ones that have testified and also taught them. Wherefore, if ye shall be obedient to the commandments and endure to the end, ye shall be saved at the last day. And thus it is. Amen. So be obedient. Do what he said. You remember the story of Naaman, the Syrian, the captain of the army of Syria who had leprosy? And the king of Syria found out through one of the maids that was for the captain's wife that there was a prophet in Israel, that if this Naaman guy was over there in Israel. The prophet could heal him of his leprosy like that. And so the king sends a letter with the captain and a bunch of gold and stuff and everything to Israel, to the king in Israel, and says, hey, this is my captain. I really like him. Heal him of his leprosy. And the king freaks out because he can't do nothing. He's not the prophet. And so he's panicking. And then the prophet finds out the king's panicking. He says, send the guy to me. He goes, and so Naaman goes to the prophet's house thinking, okay, here we go. This guy's going to heal me. He gets there and he knocks on the door and the prophet says, yeah. He says, well, I'm here. I'm Naaman. I'm the guy with the leprosy. Oh, go dip yourself in the River Jordan 7 times and you'll be cleaned. That's not what he was expecting to hear. And he even told him, what? What? I could have dipped myself in the river back in Syria. They're much cleaner. Have you ever been in the River Jordan? It's not, yuck. It's downriver from Jerusalem. I don't want to go there. You go there. What I want you to do is I want you to just put your hand on the leprosy and heal me right now. Do it. Come on. And the guy is telling God what to do. And God told him, no. You go dip yourself in the river 7 times. He wasn't going to do it. So he went to go back home to Syria. And one of his servants was with him, was talking to him on the trail. And he goes, you know, boss, if he'd have told you to you know, offer up a calf or do this or, you know, make any other kind of sacrifice or anything, would you have done it? He said, yeah. Well, wouldn't it be just as easy to just go dip yourself in the river 7 times and see what happens? It's what God said to do. Why don't you go try it? So he did. Dipped himself in 7 times and was healed. And coincidentally, he was also converted into believing in the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he asked for forgiveness of his sins, and he asked for forgiveness of any sins that his king might make him do. But that he would never, ever worship any other god from that point forward except the God of Israel. So the moral and the lesson of the story is when God says, do this and you're going to be healed, or do this and you're going to make it to where you want to go, why argue with him? Just do it. It's not that hard. So, if you will turn to the third book of Nephi, chapter 12, it's on page 674. Chapter 12, starting at verse 20. Well, okay, so 673, verse 27. It says that as I have been lifted up by men, and this is Jesus Christ speaking, even so should men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled, and if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not unto the end, the same is he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return, because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he hath given unto the children of men. You can get baptized, you can have faith and all of that stuff. You can repent of your sins, you can receive the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost. But if you don't endure to the end, you're not going to make it. Turn to page 712. It's Mormon, the 4th chapter. Verse 93. Doubt not, but be believing, and begin as in times of old, and come unto the Lord with all your heart, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before him. Be wise in the days of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanness. Ask not what you may consume it, that you may consume it on your lusts, but ask with a firmness unshaken that ye will yield to no temptation, but that ye will serve the true and living God. See that ye are not baptized unworthily. See that ye partake not of the sacrament of Christ unworthily, but see that ye do all things in worthiness, and do it in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And if ye do this, and endure to the end, ye will in no wise be cast out. So, there you go. Simple. Endure to the end. How do you do that? You know how it felt after you got baptized and with the water, and then they did the laying on of hands and you received the Holy Ghost? Do you remember the joy that you felt? I remember that. I remember that feeling. I remember what it felt like to be just completely filled up with the Holy Ghost. And it was the most amazing feeling I ever had in my life. I've never felt so much love in my life as I did at that moment. Okay? To be able to have that in me constantly, I don't think I could physically stand it. Because I know that at the time of that happened, when it was all done and everybody shook my hands and hugged me and everything, I sat down and was like, whew, wow, that was amazing. But for some reason, I feel wore out a little bit here. I'm all trembly and weak feeling. And so I don't think I could handle feeling that in this physical body continually like that. But I can handle feeling a portion of it, you know, like when he tells me to preach, and just before you get ready to stand up and you're kneeling and you're praying and you can just feel your whole body just trembling and you're not sure how things are going to go, but then God tells you, do what I said. And then I actually almost every single time I can feel my kidneys start to pulse, boom, boom. Because I can feel the adrenaline being pushed back through them to calm me down, okay? So that I can actually get up here and make sense of what it is I'm supposed to say, I think. But I feel God's presence just not as overpowering as the day I was baptized, okay? But you want to feel that love? Turn to page 771 in the Book of Mormon. You want to feel that love that you felt more often? Chapter 8 of the Book of Moroni, page 771. It says, and the first fruits of repentance is baptism. And baptism cometh by faith unto the fulfilling the commandments. And the fulfilling the commandments bringeth remission of sins. And the remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. And because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love, which love endureth by diligence unto prayer. How many times a day do you say prayer? Sincere prayer, in truth and in deed. Not just, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, blah, blah, blah. No, you need, when you say the Lord's Prayer, if that's your prayer, think about what you're saying as you say it. Or if you say a different kind of prayer to God, think about what you're saying as you say it. Do it in earnest. With real intent of heart. I asked you, how many times a day do you say prayer? You know, he gave us a bunch of commandments, kind of like what he told Naaman the Syrian, go do this and you'll be okay. And he tells us in the scriptures, do these things and you'll make it into heaven. I want you to do something and then I will do something for you. You give it your all, even though your all isn't going to cut the mustard, because on your own you're not going to be able to get into heaven on your own. But you give it your all and show me that you love me with all your heart. Do what I asked you to do, and I will make sure that you are worthy to stay in heaven. So he tells us, first commandment, love the Lord thy God with all thy might, mind, and strength. Right? Yeah. If you love God, he tells us, you will keep my commandments. It says to love one another as he loved us. It says to pray. In the book of Alma, do you remember in Alma, it's in the 14th chapter, he tells us, I want you to pray. I want you to pray in the morning. When you wake up, I want you to pray midday. I want you to pray when you get to the field or when you get to your job, over your flocks, your crops, all that stuff. I want you to pray at night, just before you go to bed. He also tells us we're supposed to pray over our food. So you got morning, breakfast, work, lunch, midday, supper, bedtime. There's at least 7 times a day. Now, you notice lunch over here and midday were not the same, because I found out something a couple months ago when I was reading that and trying to figure this all out and talking to God about this. He told me, he says, Sean, you're missing something. I said, what's that? He goes, when's your midday? Like, lunch? Right? Really? That's your midday? And then I thought, well, let's see, I wake up at 7:30. I go to bed at 12. So there's 4.5 and 12, that's 16.5. Half of that would be 8. 8 from 12 is 4, 3. Okay, sometimes I go to bed at 11 and say my prayer. So maybe 2:30? But I always eat lunch at 12. So I was missing one. And I thought I was doing pretty good. Because I was doing, wake up before you get out of bed, say prayer. Breakfast, prayer. Get to the job, prayer. Lunchtime, prayer. Supper, prayer. Go to bed, prayer. But I was missing one. I didn't even realize it. And so, I'm like, well, what's the importance of this? Why can't you just do midday and lunch at the same time? Sean, do you remember Naaman? Yeah, I remember Naaman. Yeah, you told him to do something and he didn't want to do it. And he said, why can't I just do it this way? And, yeah, Sean, because I said so. But, and do you want to know why? Because he wants to hear from us. And he doesn't want to just hear us because it's lunchtime. It's time to pray over your food. He wants to hear from you just to hear from you. Because you're his kids. How many times do you got your mom or your grandma telling you, I wish your kids would just call me? That's what God wants. The shortest prayer I ever said in my life was less than 2 seconds. That was answered immediately. And it was, God help me. I was having problems working on a bus. And I was out of strength. I couldn't turn the nut. When I said, God help me, it just went like butter. It didn't even make a screech or a squeal. 2 seconds and bam, prayer answered. Do you know how long it takes to say the Lord's Prayer with real intent. I timed myself. 27 seconds, 30 seconds tops. If you're a lucky person and blessed to have some kind of perfect schedule in your life, and you get 8 hours of sleep every night, that means there's 16 hours in the day that you're awake. You know how many times you can say a two-second prayer in 16 hours? 28,800 times. 2 seconds. Do you know how many times you can say a 30-second prayer in 16 hours? 1,920 times. He only wants you to do it 7 or 8 for, you know, these are the prayers, I'm going to do them because he said so. And then in between all of that, as you're doing your job, and I know you can do this because I've done it, as you're doing your job and you're thinking, okay, set the tile, butter the tile, set it there, put it here, measure that, cut that. And, you know, I have to remember, I've got to be able to get home tonight. It's a birthday night or it's an anniversary. I've got to go to the store. Angelita wanted me to get this. I need to get a haircut. You know, as you're doing your job, you're doing your job, but you're thinking of other things as you're doing it. And every once in a while, you're going to catch yourself in there going, God, you know, I really don't understand what Sean was talking about. Could you, maybe some point in time, would you please explain it to me? God, it was really nice this morning on the way to work. You know, the sunrise was just absolutely beautiful. God, I love the way the maple tree in the front yard is looking this fall. It is just gorgeous. Oh, man. Yeah, then the breeze. I know it's hot out, God, but the breeze is just perfect today. God, I really thank you for giving me my family. You know, my wife is wonderful. And my kids, and, you know, as you're doing your work out through the day, he says, I want you to pray to me in your heart. He wants you to just kind of talk to him in your heart and thank him and ask him questions, carry on a conversation with him in your heart during the day. You can do this. I know you've all done this. Sometimes we're like, God, why'd you let that happen? I don't understand. And this just doesn't make any sense to me. And, you know, sometimes we get a little bit upset when we're talking to him. But you're still talking to him. You know, as kids, he expects you to have your problems. He doesn't want, you know, he's not expecting every day to be, God, I really love the way the sunset looks today. No, there's times when he wants you to just let him know, you know, I really need help with this problem. I don't understand why this is happening. Why am I having to go through all of this stuff? And he'll say, go read Book of Jacob, it's chapter 3, like verses 1 through 8. I'll explain it to you. So you go look it up. And, well, okay. So all this stuff's happening to me, and because, and you can go look it up yourselves and read it. Okay, what else does he tell us to do? In the Lord's Prayer, it says, in the one in the Bible, the one before he was crucified, because it's different after he was crucified, some things were changed. There was a reason for it. But in the Bible, it says, give us this day our daily bread. He was talking about himself, the word. Give us this day the daily word that we must consume, that we're supposed to consume and make a part of our flesh. Okay? Make a part of us. Give us this day our daily bread. So, study the scriptures. Every day, because it says give us this day. Not give us tomorrow or thanks for yesterday, but give us this day our daily bread. So study the scriptures on a daily basis. Oh, yeah, I know. But this is what he said to do. It's not that hard. And actually, there's some pretty cool stuff in there. Meet together oft. Ooh. How often is oft? Well, how many chances you get during the week to meet together with people of the same faith? Sunday school, Sunday morning sermon, Sunday evening sermon, Wednesday night prayer service. That's four times. And then I'm supposed to pray seven or eight times a day of specific prayers, and then you want me to pray to him and read? This is getting complicated. I'm sorry, this is what he said to do. What else? Sacrament service. Yeah. Why? So remember what we're doing. So you can hear the testimonies and be reminded, this is what I need to do. This is who I'm supposed to be. This is the faith I'm supposed to have. These are the things that I want in my life. This is who I promised him I was going to be. Sacrament service. What else? Visit the sick, the widows, the orphans. Yeah, there's a lot of pages here. This page, sorry. We're almost done. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, pay our tithing, bear our testimonies, and edify the church. Pay our tithing, bear our testimonies, and edify the church. Why do you come to church? So that you can be lifted up spiritually. And so that you can lift up the other people. It's not just so we can say, we had 78 people at church today, aren't we cool? No, this is so that we can lift each other up and remind each other, this is who we're supposed to be. This is the kind of people we're supposed to be. This is how we're supposed to let the light of Christ shine forth from us at all times, not just here, but at all times. This is what we're supposed to do. Bear our testimonies, not just at sacrament service and not just Wednesday night, but out there. Bear your testimonies that I am a Christian. In other words, love the people as Christ loved you. Be willing to open the door for them. Be willing to let them merge into the traffic. Let them get in line in front of you to get their pop from the Quick Trip or whatever gas station you prefer, or your coffee or latte or whatever it is. If it's the last apple fritter in the case and you're both wanting one, let the other guy have it. You're not going to starve, Sean. Be a Christian. At all times. Do what he said. Because he said so. Not because we're up here telling you you're supposed to, but because he actually said so. So that you can make it into heaven. I don't want you thinking, I ain't gonna do that. Sean's a hypocrite. Well, don't worry about Sean. This is for you and me. I'm working at this too. You know, when I actually, 2 months ago, I set my alarm in my phone for 2:30 in the afternoon. Because I tried it the first couple of days without an alarm. I just couldn't do it. I could not remember, because 2:30, I figured it out, 2:30, that's my midday. So I had to set an alarm in my phone, and the first day I'm there, and we're working away, and Jared and Ahalita are cutting tile, bringing me tile, and everything, and my alarm goes off, and I'm like, oh, it's 2:30. Silence. Turned it off, put it down, bowed my head, started saying my prayer. Jared comes back from the saw with the tile, and I'm praying. Get done praying, grab the tile, start working again. Everything okay, Uncle Sean? Yeah, everything's good. Nothing I need to know about? Well, no, it's just, you know, it's good. Second day, 2:30, catches me again. You all right? Yeah, I'm good. You're not sick? No, I'm okay. All right. Third day, catches me again. Uncle Sean, what's going on at 2:30? I said, well, believe it or not, 2:30 is my actual midday. Because he knows when we get to the job, we say prayer. When it's time for lunch, we say prayer. Silently, to ourselves. We're not showing off to each other. We're just bowing our heads and saying prayer to God in silence. So there's no, you know, if there's somebody that has asked for prayers, I let Jared know, or if one of the kids or Natisha or anyone else is sick, he lets me know, and we'll, you know, put that in our prayer. So I told him, I said, look, you know, 2:30 is my midday, and there's things that God has commanded that we're supposed to do besides have hope, faith, repent, get baptized with water, fire, and the Holy Ghost. He said, I'm supposed to endure to the end, and this is part of it that I didn't realize. This is something that he wants me to do on a daily basis because he said so. Because it draws me closer to him, actually, and helps me to remember who I'm supposed to be. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, pay your tithing. Yeah, tithing? He said so. To who? The church. Just give it to the church. Just don't argue about it. Don't worry about it. If they're doing something they're not supposed to be doing, or spending it foolishly, or going on wild vacations or whatever, don't worry about it. That's on them. He told us, me, give it to the church. So I had to change the way I was looking at things and not try and tell God how to do things like Naaman did, because he showed me that too. And I'm giving it to the church. Doesn't matter. I'm going to trust that they're going to do what they're supposed to do with it, and they're led to do what they're supposed to do with it and everything. But give it to the church because he said so. So that when you're standing there in front of him, you can look inside your heart and go, I did what you said. I did. I did what you said. I know. I remember. I did. I've been doing this. And you promised me. You promised me that if I did what you said, you would make it possible for me to stay here. Just do what he said. Endure to the end. Perform the maintenance on a daily basis. It's not that hard. But it has to be done. I love you all, and I'm only telling you this because I want all of us to make it. And I know that we can. So, please, abide, endure. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Brother Sean. Thank you for those words, the Word of God this morning, and let's apply these things. Let's study and continue to do those things that were spoken of this morning. And don't forget our challenge.